I have a message I'd like to share with you today. It's something that I think about from time to time, and the Lord placed it upon my heart. I've actually been working on the sermon off and on the last 4 or 5 weeks or so. And it's with regards to what would Jesus say to you? You know, they've got the what would Jesus do theme and the bracelets that you wear. And so I thought WWJSTY, something I came up with. But I often think about if I were to see, you know, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, if he were to walk in here today and I'd walk up to him, you know, what would he say to me? What would he say to me? Would it be good? Would it be bad? I'm sure it would be very powerful what he would have to say to me. And, you know, the Lord's able to speak to us even now through the Holy Ghost, through that still small voice. And we can learn if we're attentive, if we're spiritually where we need to be, we can hear that still small voice. And I know I'm not always there. I'm not always focused. I'm not always praying like I should. Sometimes my mind's distracted. And so I'm sure there's a lot of things he could say to me, but I'm just not paying attention. But you think about the examples in Scripture, and most of them that I'm going to use today are from the Bible. I think I have one from the Book of Mormon, but just the encounters that Jesus Christ had with different people. There's so many of them in the Bible. So we're going to review those today. And as we review them, you can think about, well, is this something the Lord would say to me? You know, if I saw him face to face, and or, you know, or would he say something different? So think about that, you know, during this sermon and even after, as you go about continuing life. Is there anything I need to work on? You know, would I be ashamed if Jesus Christ walked in there today and he spoke to me and he said something I know I need to work on, but I haven't done anything about it? We need to think about that. And when I was called, there was a message that was given to me in my calling, and it was your reward would come from God. And that keeps coming back to me, and I've been able to use it over and over again. That number one, I need to please my Lord and my Savior more than I do men. That was one thing that I believe was expressed to me through that. And it comes back to me over and over again, and I've been convicted about it. It's been very powerful, and it's exactly what I needed to hear. It's something that, you know, I always kind of knew I probably needed to fix that, but I never really thought about it. And so when that was said to me, it was so strong, and I'm very thankful to have that. And we need to try to praise the Lord as much as we can. We need to follow after the things that God has for us, not the things of men. And that's one of those things, the way I interpret that. And it was very convicting to me. And I know if the Lord walked in here today and he talked to every one of you, whatever he said to each one of you would be convicting. It would go deep down into the thoughts of your heart. So let's think about that. Let's think about what you think the Lord would say to you. And I'm going to start out here with the brother of Jared. And it's a little bit different. You know, he saw the finger of the Lord, and he was chastised because he hadn't been praying to the Lord. He hadn't been praying like he should. And that's what it talks about here, Ether 1:38 to 40. And it came to pass at the end of the 4 years that the Lord came again unto the brother of Jared and stood in a cloud and talked with him. And for the space of 3 hours did the Lord talk with the brother of Jared and chastened him because he remembered not to call upon the name of the Lord. And the brother of Jared repented him of the evil which he had done and did call upon the name of the Lord for his brethren which were with him. So it's a very simple thing. Prayer, you know, it's obvious you need to be praying. But even the brother of Jared, who, you know, was directed by God, he even went through a period of time when he wasn't praying to the Lord, and the Lord wasn't happy about it at all. The Lord was not pleased. He was chastened. So if we're not praying to the Lord might think this about you. If the Lord were to speak to you face to face, he might say, why aren't you praying? Why aren't you praying to me? He might be very angry. Why are you trying to do things on your own, you know, your own way? Why are you not praying for your brothers and sisters? So that's one example, the brother of Jared. A second example This is Sarah in the Bible. It's the wife of Abraham. Genesis 18, 9 through 10. And they said unto him, which is Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? So Sarah was not able to have children, and she really wanted to have that child. But she doubted here. You know, is this, the Lord said it, but I don't think I'm going to believe it. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And you know, how many things do we doubt about? There's people that have a gift of faith in our church. I doubt about a lot of things. You know, how many times when somebody's being administered to, do we say to ourselves, that person's not going to receive a blessing. I don't believe it. It's not going to happen. You know, does that thought ever go through our mind? Are we going through something, a struggle in our life, or something that happened in the past that we can look back on and saw that God worked with us during that time and he blessed us? You know, there was good that was produced from that. But at that time, you know, that time of struggle, that we doubted the Lord. We doubted that he could deliver us from that in some way. And we doubt that he can answer our prayers. Sometimes we pray about something, we do it, but I don't think we always really believe that he can answer that prayer. I mean, are we just giving the Lord mouth service, or is it something that we really believe he can answer for us? So this is another example. We need to strive to increase our faith. This is Moses. I brought this up at the Tuesday study because this is something that I had put into this sermon. We're talking about Isaiah. Exodus 4, 10 through 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So, you know, Moses here doesn't think he's going to be able to get the job done. He doesn't want to be used by the Lord. You know, isn't there somebody better than me? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. So the Lord gave Moses a task to do. He wanted him to do something, to be used as a very, very, very powerful tool, instrument of the Lord. And he said, I don't think I can do it. You know, if you're going to call me to do something here, I don't think I can do it. I don't want to be used by the Lord in any way. I don't want to be called in any sort of ministry at all. And, you know, we have to believe that even in our weakness, that the Lord can use us. That if the Lord's going to ask you to do something, he's going to take care of it. He's going to give you the gifts you need to make it happen. And, you know, we were talking about Isaiah. He said, you know, Lord, send me. You know, send me to speak prophecy to these people that aren't listening. And he was willing to do it. He wanted to do it. But Moses, it's the opposite here. So God knows best. We need to make sure we listen to him. If he's put something on your heart and you know you need to change and take care of it, you need to just do it. Because if you see him face to face one day and you don't do it, he's going to say, why didn't you do this? Why did you bury your talent? You know, why didn't you use what I've given you to use? It was all going to work out. You know, we are not to fear these things. We are to say to ourselves, I'm blessed because the Lord wants to use me. This is Matthew, Luke 5, 27 to 28. And after these things, he, Jesus, went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. So this is the next example, another face-to-face encounter with the Lord. So he's sitting there, and he's a tax collector. You know, he probably had everything he needed in life. He probably was well taken care of. And just in the spur of the moment, the Lord walked up to him, and he thought about it. And just like that, he was able to follow the Lord. You know, he was able to give all that up and to realize that there was something better for me. Something better that the Lord can give me. And so he did it. You know, he didn't think twice about it. You know, it doesn't really say that he did here. But he says he left it all. He left it all and he went and he did it. So again, you know, is this something that the Lord would say to you? Are you willing to leave all for the service of the Lord? You know, if the Lord would ask you to do something just like that, would you do it? Or are we comfortable and say, no, I don't want to change. I have better things I can do than doing things for the Lord. Better things I can come up with. I don't want to be used. Along those same lines, the rich young ruler, you know, these things that the Lord said to all these people, it was very convicting. And it really, like I said, it dug in deep down into their soul and convicted them. You know, it was just what they needed to hear. They may not fix anything, but it was really that thing that they were struggling with. In Matthew 19, 21 to 22, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So it's kind of along the same lines as Matthew. You know, what are we willing to give up for the Lord? You know, what's most important to us? Are our possessions the most important thing? You know, could you give up your house and your home and your possessions? Could you just give it up all for the Lord? Or would you not be able to do it? There's a song, we actually listened to it on the way up in the car here today. I've been listening to it at work. And it's a song, If the House Burns Down Tonight. It's by a band called Switchfoot, and I have no idea what the title of that band means, but that's not really important here. They have got this song, and it really touched me. It says, and if the house burns down tonight, I got everything I need. With you by my side, I see the smoke piling up in the rearview mirror, but I ain't ever seen it any clearer. If the house burns down tonight, I got everything I need when I got you by my side, and let the rest burn. So I think the person that wrote this song, you know, was convicted that with the Lord, he had everything he needed in life. If he would lose it all, he'd still be okay. He would still make it. He's still spiritually right with God, and he can still be blessed by the Lord. Maybe not so much with his possessions, because you know, if his house burns down, he still has the Lord. And again, you know, what's more important to us in life? Is it the things we have, or is it how we can be used by the Lord? Does the Lord give us what we need? You know, is he able to make our cup full, to fill it up without the things of the world? Okay, there's more lyrics. And all those lies that matter most to me were draining me dry, making a ghost of me. And if the house burns down tonight, I got everything I need, everything I need. There's a fire coming that we all go through. You possess your possessions, or they possess you. I thought that was pretty powerful. But it's true. It's definitely true, and that can happen. So we need to think about these things. If the house burns down tonight, I got everything you need when I got you by my side. Okay, 12 disciples. 12 disciples are the apostles at Jerusalem. There's another example, personal encounter with the Lord. Matthew 17, 14 to 16. And they were come to the multitude. There came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. They weren't where they needed to be with the Lord. They had unbelief. They didn't have the right faith. They needed to be praying more. They needed to be fasting. And back here, Jesus called them faithless, perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? This was right there to these disciples that the Lord had come. And he was disappointed with what had happened here. The question, the obvious question here is, what would the Lord say to us as the ministry? And he has said things in the past. And I've heard stories. Chastisements have come from the Lord to the ministers, not being happy with some of the things that have been said or that have been done. Even with these disciples, with these apostles, they were, would sin often, time and time again, and the Lord could convict them and say something to them. And we're going to have more examples about that coming up here. And then I kind of have the opposite example, Mark 9:38-40. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. So who is this person who's doing this, casting out these devils? He's doing a miracle. Says, do a miracle in my name. So it sounds to me that he was doing it. And so here the apostles are, the disciples, they were struggling with this. They weren't getting the job done. But then there's this other guy who's, maybe he was ordained in some way, I don't know, but to me, they didn't know who this guy was. He's not in our mix. He's not following us, Why is he doing this? So that's another example. It just goes to show that no matter who you are, you can sin against God. You cannot have that faith you need to have. And this is something that the Lord, I'm sure he'd have plenty of things to say to us and me as a minister, as an elder. He'd have very, very powerful things to say to me that would convict me. Nicodemus, he had another personal encounter with the Lord. And this Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, but he was able to not listen to what all the other Pharisees and the Sadducees were saying. They didn't like the Lord, but he was willing to step out here, take a risk, and go talk to the Lord and get wisdom from him, And this is familiar with this passage, John 3:3-5. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do we believe this? If we want to enter into God's kingdom, we need to be born of the water. You take this in its plainness, water, baptism. It's that's what he's talking about here. And, and born of the Spirit. You need to receive the Spirit. It needs to be dwelling in you. You need to receive it, and then you can get into the kingdom of God. You need to be born of the Spirit. It's very plain. And there's many in the world that don't believe this. You know, they think that baptism is just a symbol, but it's not. And we have additional clarification about this, of course, in the Book of Mormon. You know, the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism. If you want to enter in that straight and narrow path, you need to be baptized and you need to repent of your sins. You know, I'm sure there would be things, if I saw the Lord today, if there was something, a doctrinal matter that I didn't understand correctly, you know, I didn't believe correctly, I'm sure He could come up to me. I know He would come up to me. And there would be some things He could correct. I know there is. I think there would be for all of us. You know, we don't always know what's best. But the Lord does. I guess too, you know, the Lord's talking to all these people personally, but, you know, what if the Lord would give us a revelation or instruction from the Lord through a brother or a sister? You know, would we doubt it? Would we be able to accept it if it was from the Lord? Well, it's something else. We need to make sure we're spiritually where we need to be so that we can really believe that as truth and we can apply it in our lives for our benefit. Another example, a woman taken in adultery, it's another one, John 8:10-11. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." So, you know, the question is, what happened with this woman? You know, there are theories as to who this woman was. Some think, I think it's Mary Magdalene possibly, but it doesn't say that. Did this woman straighten her life out? You know, if the Lord were to direct you or convict you of something you needed to change, you know, maybe you're reading something in your scripture and I don't do that. I better take care of that. I better fix that problem. You know, the Lord's giving you a warning, just like He did with this woman. You know, we need to confess our sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And she knew she was wrong before the Lord. And the Lord gave her another opportunity here to take care of it, for her to make a change in her life. But did she do it? Did she not do it? You know, we won't know until that last day. She won't know until that last day. So it's just something else to think about. Even if the Lord were to convict you, were to talk to you, even if you were baptized, you know, into the church, there's no guarantee. You know, are you going to continue on that straight and narrow path all the way to the very end? Martha. Luke 10:38-39. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." You know, Mary had her priorities straight. Sure, there's other things that need to get done, but they'll get done eventually. You know, take the opportunity that you have in this life, you know, to meet with the Lord face to face. You know, what greater blessing could you receive? And, you know, Mary wanted to be there with the Lord while she had that time to be with Him. But Martha was running about and not realizing that. And so I guess the example, or how do we apply this to our life? It's that, you know, we need to make sure we got our priorities straight. We need to make sure that we spend time with the Lord. You know, I've been trying to read before I go to bed. I'm starting to read through the Old Testament again. But I need to do that. And when I'm where I need to be with the Lord, I'll open that up and I'll want to read it. It'll be exciting to me. I want to learn about the things of God, and I'll like doing it. And the there's no greater blessing than that, you know, to get that joy that comes from reading your scripture. And there's an example, something I thought about here. I was over at Dennis and Betsy's once, and I think we had just eaten. I don't know if it was from Labor Day or something or what it was, but we were done eating, and I think probably right away when we were done eating, I got up and I started cleaning things up and doing this and that. And, you know, I was told, you just should relax. You know, take advantage of this time you have with your brothers and sisters. These other things will get taken care of. You know, I need to take advantage of the time I have. And so I can totally relate to this. I like to always be doing something, you know, taking care of something, getting things done. There's always something I want to busy myself with, but I need to make sure that I take time with the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Thomas. This is Thomas. Another familiar story. John 20:24-25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And it's easy for us to read our scriptures and to say, yeah, that guy wasn't doing what was right. I wouldn't have done that. You know, I wouldn't have acted that way. But would we? You know, if Jesus were to, if we were to live in a time when Jesus was in this world, his first coming, what group would we have associated with? Would we have associated ourselves with the non-believers, with the Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees? You know, the people that said, crucify him, crucify him. You know, when Pontius Pilate was asking people what they wanted to do. It's easy to point our fingers at these people, but what problems do we have in our lives, you know? Do we have the faith that we need? Would we be like Thomas here in this example? I just have to see it. I have to have a sign. I'm not going to believe anything. You know, I'm not going to believe the Bible. I'm not going to believe the Book of Mormon until the God, and God convicts me of it. He's got to do something. He's got to do some miracle in order for me to believe. So we need to be careful about that. This is Peter. And we all know what Peter did, John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? But Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You know, I think about this passage sometimes. You know, my job is to come here to this church and to help out as I can, and to you know, help feed the sheep. And it's not only us as ministers; it's everybody else too. We all have a personal responsibility. That we need to be good brothers and sisters. You know, we can say things. There's things that come out of our mouth when we have fellowship with other brothers and sisters. They can either be beneficial or they can be hurtful. You know, are we feeding the sheep? Are we helping them in their life? Are we helping them in their life getting done what they need to get done? this. It's not just the ministry. Are we allowing ourselves to be used of God so God can feed the sheep, you know, using us as instruments? So it's another thing that we can think about. And what about your life? What about your life that you live? Are you a witness for Jesus Christ in the way you act, in the way you behave? Or are you just like everybody else? You know, are you kind of denying the things that you know by not doing them, by not, you know, maybe taking care of something that needs to be taken care of, but by correcting somebody if there's somebody's hurting themselves in sin? Or you know, are you doing what you need to do, or is your life no different from everybody else? So, you know, in that regard, are you somewhat denying the Lord Jesus Christ because you're not speaking up, you're not doing something you know you're supposed to do, but you're not doing it? You know, that's kind of along the same lines as this. The voice, word of the Lord. I've got a verse here, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this summarizes better than the way I could explain it. The word of God, the voice of the Lord. If he were to speak to us today, every person he would speak to would be convicted about this. It would cut deep down. It would be powerful. You know, would tear apart any of your misconceptions. You know, it's just so strong. And he just knows. He knows your inner thoughts. He knows what you are thinking deep down in. You know, how does the Lord know that? How does he know what you are thinking? He knows what everybody's thinking all the time. How does he do that? He knows your inner thoughts. How does he do that? You can't think anything without him knowing. But he has such great wisdom, more wisdom than I will ever have. And if he were to come in here and speak to us today and tell every one of us what we need to do, if we would act upon it, you know, the world would be a better place. If the world would listen to the Word of God today in the United States, if we would follow our scriptures, it would take care of all of our problems. But we don't want to listen. You know, I don't want to listen all the time. But we need to change that. Closing questions. What other thing might Jesus say to you? You know, think about it. Do you need to see and hear from Jesus face to face before you make changes in your life? By then, it might be too late. It might be too late. You got to do it now. Are you reading your scriptures so you know what needs to change? Are you letting yourself be convicted of your scriptures and applying them in your life? You got to do that. If you don't read them, you know, you're gonna be lost. You need to know what they say and you need to follow them. It's your opportunity to hear the voice of the Lord because it's right here, written down on paper. When you do see Jesus, the ideal response, when you do see him, what's he going to say? This is the ideal response. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You know, this is what we want to hear, you know, and be placed at the right hand of the Lord. Know that we did what the Lord asked of us. So I hope you can say this to all of us. I think Adam used this last week, or was it the week before, 2 weeks ago? I don't remember. Anyways, he used this verse too, but you know, we really need to think about these things when we see the Lord, when we see him coming in the clouds, you know, with lightning and thunder, whatever there is. What are we going to do? Are we going to, you know, hide ourselves in the rocks like they says some people will? Are we going to say, oh no, I didn't take advantage of the time that I had. I didn't apply God's word in my life. Or are we going to have a good feeling inside that I think I did what I was supposed to do? I think I did. I'm excited because the Lord's returning, because my redemption's here. And my redemption's here. And I'm going to be with the Lord forever. And I made it. So think about that. Like I said, I think about that a lot. What would the Lord say to me? At least once a month, I probably think about this topic. But I thank you for your time, and we'll go ahead and sing our closing hymn.